Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dewin. Today's date is Friday, August 17th, 2012. Strap yourselves in. It's about to get crazy.
Tonight, George Soros has reportedly unloaded all investments in major stocks and invest over $130 million in gold as the financial system threatens to implode. Then, the Social Security Administration attempts to explain why they plan on buying 174,000 hollow point bullets. Plus, newly released documents clearly show that the Homeland Security Department continued to pursue a mobile surveillance program despite claiming it has dropped the program altogether. And Mike Adams joins us to explain why he believes a major false flag terror attack might be right around the corner. All that and more coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
So we got a great show lined up for you this Friday. But first, I want to ask you a question. What if there was a government agency out there that wanted to go around and collect all kinds of infrastructure information and proprietary information about different types of infrastructures privately owned around the country? Would you give it to them? Would you even trust them? Well, that takes us to our first story today. Homeland Security announces the Protected Critical Infrastructure Information Program, or PICI. What do they want to do? They want you to submit information, all kinds of proprietary information. They're looking for information that enhances infrastructure between owners, operators, and the government. So what is the PCII program? It is an information protection program that enhances voluntary information sharing between infrastructure owners and operators and the government. PCII protection means that Homeland Security partners can be confident with sharing their information with the government and they will not expose sensitive or proprietary data. DHS and other federal, state, tribal, and other local analysts use PCCI to analyze and secure critical infrastructure and protected systems, identify vulnerabilities and develop risk assessments, and enhance recovery preparedness measures. And also they'd have plans to maybe, do a false flag or something. You know, they'd have all that private information. How does PCII protect my information? If the information submitted satisfies the requirements of the Critical Infrastructure Information Act of 2002, it is protected from the Freedom of Information Act, state, tribal, and local disclosure laws, and use of regulatory actions and use in civil litigation. PCII can only be assessed in accordance with strict safeguarding and handling requirements, and only trained, certified federal, state, and local government employees or contractors may have access to PCII. So basically what they do, they want all your information, and then they will choose whether or not it satisfies certain requirements, which would then leave you basically safeguarded from almost any type of disclosure out there. Pretty scary on many levels. But don't take it from me. Let's hear what the Department of Homeland Security has to say in this really horribly produced video.
Accurate critical infrastructure information. It is an essential resource for national preparedness. And yet, it's not always available to those who need it to keep America safe.
The critical infrastructure information is crucial for us to have. If you don't have meaningful data that is customer-focused that you can actually use in your protection planning, you really only have half the picture.
State and local governments are most likely to be the first responders in the event of an incident. And so they've got to be able to understand those businesses and those facilities and know what their security vulnerabilities are.
Because a large majority of our nation's critical infrastructure is privately owned, the data needed for national preparedness is sometimes sensitive or proprietary to that private company. Information shared with the federal, state, and local governments could become public record. So businesses and organizations are often hesitant to provide their data.
The concerns that private businesses have about giving information to the government is that it might be disclosed by the government to someone else.
A program within the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Infrastructure Protection bridges this gap. Known as the PCII program, DHS created the Protected Critical Infrastructure Information Program as a result of the Critical Infrastructure Information Act of 2002. PCII offers protections to enhance the flow of information between the private sector and the government.
We are creating a partnership whereby the private sector knows if they give us this information that we are partners in creating a plan for response.
PCII provides a bridge in terms of information sharing between the public and the private sector in that it provides the private sector the protections that they would expect.
Essentially, critical infrastructure information that is voluntarily submitted and validated by DHS as PCII cannot be obtained by making a request under the Freedom of Information Act or other similar state and local disclosure laws. Additionally, the information is protected against use in civil litigation or in regulatory actions.
Now, companies and associations can share information that's sensitive, proprietary, and timely with the government so they can engage the government partner in helping to build protective measures.
Procedural safeguards ensure that all users of PCII have homeland security responsibilities, a need to know that information, and have completed training on handling PCII.
Both sides understand that we are focusing only on security, and we are focusing on the information that we need for that security, either the planning on the front or the response on the other end.
PCII protections assist public-private partnerships through assurances. Assurances that the right information is seen by the right eyes and is used for the right reasons.
There you go. They want your critical information, and if they deem it is fits within their parameters, they'll protect you from all kinds of laws. So I could see this being abused several different ways. What if you're a nuclear power plant and you have a constant leak going and you provide this information to DHS and they determine that that specific leak is part of, well, critical information. So they put that aside and you'll never know if that nuclear power plant leaks. You can't get that disclosed in any way, shape, or form. So I see this as two things, being a protection for these insiders who work with the government. And also, say you're a small business who doesn't quite agree with what the government says, and you give them your information being a good citizen. And they look at it, and then they use that information, they deem it's not critical, and then they use it to come after you via, you know, a number of many different laws that they come up with. So this thing is scary on its face. It was sent to us by a listener. I'm not sure when this program started, but I haven't heard anything about it. So I just wanted to put that out there and make that our top story tonight. So very interesting what they want to do. It kind of goes into a lot of different things of bridging private and public sectors, and it was pretty scary. And it also brings me to this. Why would you not want to give your information to DHS? Well, because they lie. And in fact, this leads us to our next story. New documents. Big Sis lied about canceling mobile body scanner program. This is from Steve Watson. And Homeland Security claimed it dropped the plans at an early stage. EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, yesterday released the documents obtained under the Freedom Information Act showing that DHS was still operating the program in March of 2011, just days, 2 days prior to claiming it had dropped the projects very early, in an early phase after testing showed flaws. EPIC filed a lawsuit against DHS for attempting to keep the program secret. And what was this program? This program was basically going around taking these mobile body scanners. They were using the terahertz, the millimeter wave, intelligent video, all going to be deployed in all these different areas to basically spy on the American public. And they said early on that, oh, no, we stopped this in its early stages way back when. But then EPIC got the documents showing that it did not. EPIC sued, asked the federal court to disclose nearly 1,000 pages of additional records detailing the controversial program. And they did that, but they redacted 158 pages and withheld 983 pages of documents. So that's the kind of disclosure you get from them. So it makes you wonder. You know, they want businesses to give up their information voluntarily, you know, and then they're going to take care of your information. And don't worry, they won't let it get out in the hands of anybody, or any government insiders won't be able to use that information against you. Trust us. Trust us. So now I want to play a game. I want you to pick out the criminal here. It's called Who's the Criminal? Or Find the Criminal. There it is. Is it Assange? Is it Corzine? Who's the criminal? Who do you pick? Do you pick the guy who whistleblowed about war crime secrets? Or do you pick the guy who sold billions of dollars out of his customers' segregated accounts? Well, my pick's on John Corzine. Unfortunately, as reported by Zero Hedge, It's not. It's Assange. So the United States won't prosecute Corzine for raiding segregated customers' accounts, but it will happily convene a grand jury in preparation for prosecuting Julian Assange for exposing the truth about war crimes. And this is from the New York Times. I'm going to that New York Times quote now. A criminal investigation into the collapse of the brokerage firm MF Global and its disappearance of about $1 billion in customer money is now headed into its final stage without charges expected against any top executives. After 10 months of stitching together evidence on the firm's demise, criminal investigators are concluding that chaos and porous risk controls at the firm rather than fraud allowed the money to disappear, according to the people involved in the case. And then let's go back to that other graphic real quick. Corzine is considering opening a new hedge fund, though the notion that anyone, even a slack-jawed Muppet, happy to buy whatever Goldman prop traders want to sell, would cede Corzine money so he can trade or steal it away seems rather absurd. Or they're like putting a child molester in charge of the daycare. And I think Zero Hedge hit it right on the head with that remark. How can you trust this guy after this when he claims he knew nothing about it when he did know? And then we find out the money went to J.P. Morgan. There you go. But he's not a criminal. And this is going to flashback. Actually, we're going to go to this Yahoo News story that came out just a couple days ago from the Atlantic Wire. No one will be charged with a crime for the MF Global collapse. And, of course, the company's bankruptcy is a result of incompetence rather than theft. And that won't make those who were burned feel any better, nor will it help ease the fears that anti-Wall Street types already believe the financial industry is a wasteland of greed and corruption. Those waiting to see the bankers and traded hauled away in handcuffs are going to have to wait a little bit longer. And so, you know, it was incompetence. We're stupid. This is the meme we always see. Either they didn't know it was going to happen, or they weren't prepared, and it's either we're too stupid or we didn't know. It's never we did it intentionally. It's always one of those two things. Now I want to flash back to a Goldman Sachs article. Why Goldman Sachs and other Wall Street titans are not being prosecuted. The Justice Department's decision not to prosecute Goldman Sachs in a financial fraud probe is another sign of cronyism that has kept Attorney General Eric Holder from taking action against other big Wall Street firms, says Peter Schweitzer. And Thursday's announcement that there will be no prosecutions should hardly come as a surprise. In 2008, Goldman Sachs employees were among Obama's top campaign contributors, giving a combined total of over $100,000. Eric Holder's former law firm, Covington & Burling, also counts Goldman as one of its clients. Furthermore, in 2011, when the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations issued a scathing report detailing Goldman's suspicious abacus deal, several Goldman executives and their families began flooding Obama coffers with donations, giving a maximum of $35,800. So that's why they're not going to be looked at, because they are on the inside track and you are a slave lemming. Therefore, anything you do will be white glove. Take Mark Cuban, for example. He just made a couple trades and he was investigated. Why? Well, because he came out against 9/11. Against the official story of 9/11, not against 9/11 truth. He was actually going to put out a movie that was very critical of the government and actually saying that they planned it, took part in it, or knew it, that it was going to happen, and didn't do anything about it, which we all know it's one of those three scenarios. And so that's what happens when you're not on the inside. You get to skate away, you get to steal billions of dollars, and nothing happens to you. But you steal a TV or a pair of Nike shoes, they're going to throw the book at you and make you a slave inside the prison industrial complex. Moving on, we had a special visitor yesterday. If you were watching InfoWars Live and the Alex Jones Show, Christopher Walken dropped in with, who was the other guy with him? It was Richard Belzer, that's who it was. Richard Belzer has written a really cool book outlining a bunch of false flag shootings, which we can see happening again, and Christopher Walken happened to pop in. So we're going to go to a quick clip of Christopher Walken on the Alex Jones Show.
This was your great-grandfather's war watch, and he wore it every day he was in that war.
Now, ping pong, or as the Chinese say, ping pong.
From here on, nothing goes down unless I'm involved. No blackjack, no dope deals, no nothing.
Cops lie. Newspapers lie. Parents lie. The one thing you can count on, word on the street.
He said, yeah, no, I'm here at Christopher Walken's house. And he was talking about how he didn't have a bunch of computers and phones spying on him. And suddenly, Christopher Walken is on our Skype video feed. Let's bring him up right now. Oh, my.
I had to drag him out of bed. That's how much he likes me.
Richard and I are cooking.
Yes.
And we're writing a book.
Right. And we're doing a movie called
The Nose.
The Nose and the River. We're teasing, but we're filming this cooking thing for Funny or Die. So Chris took a picture of my nose, and I took a picture of his nose, and we're going to release that as a short film and hopefully get an Oscar.
You took a snapshot of my nose, but I took a movie.
A 4-second movie of my nose.
It's going to be great.
People want to know what celebrities do, Alex. We're not that mysterious.
But we also made a chicken. Sweet potatoes.
He made chicken with sweet potatoes, onion,
cooked pears,
and
the orange seafood melange.
He's a great cook, and I just made the salad.
The orange melange.
Brijol. The orange melange. What's the name of that dish that you made?
The
French name.
The seafood
orange. No, the orange melange.
The scallop orange melange.
A la Walken.
Yes.
Alex, you ever come to New York?
I do come occasionally. Why?
Please call us when you come to town.
But Richard made a terrific arugula salad with brajol.
Brajola, heirloom tomatoes, shaved parmesan.
Shaved parmesan.
Two kinds of oil, sunflower and olive oil and a little salt.
And we had a little red wine.
A little red wine.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Chris is a gourmet.
What's your favorite type of red wine, Mr. Walken?
French.
I hear you.
We like the heavy reds.
Oh, wow. Mr. Walken, we are learning Mr. Belzer's views on the world.
Richard and Chris.
Chris, what is your view on what's happening in the world right now with the TSA and the groping and the surveillance grid? I was hearing that you don't have all the little spy gadgets in your house. I envy that.
I have no idea, and I hardly leave the house.
Chris does not.
I cook.
Read the news.
Richard just gave me his book. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, he'll read my book, thank God.
It's right here.
It's a history book. But Chris is...
But I'm working with Richard on the cooking book. To me, that's...
Right, we're going to do something together. But Chris is brilliant because he doesn't want to be on the Google map, and he doesn't want his phone to have that reverse technology that we all know. Even when it's off, they know where we are. And he's one of the few people I know on the earth that has managed to do that. I mean, we have to do it. We're in media, but, you know, he can go to a movie set. They give him a phone that he can throw away when it's over, when he does a play. It's the coolest. I mean,
they only give me the phone so that they can know where he is.
But
in a way, my radio/TV show, we're almost invading you right now like an alien probe.
I know. I was taking a nap and Richard called me out and here I am.
This is unbelievable. But Mr. Walken, what do you think of the whole announcement of that they want to have an Iran war? Do you think that's a bad idea?
I don't know anything about that. He's got a nap, Alex.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Walken.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I'm sorry, Richard, that I brought up serious subjects.
No.
Call him back. Let's ask him his favorite recipe with truffles. Ask him that.
What's your favorite recipe? Well, he made a great chicken.
Who?
Tell him how you made it.
What's your favorite truffles recipe, Chris?
Truffles.
I like truffles on pasta.
There you go.
Me too. With some shallots. And you like shallots on the pasta, sir?
Absolutely. Olive oil, garlic.
And then a nice French red?
Yes, of course.
What's your favorite French red?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell. He wanted to talk about food. He didn't want to talk about the New World Order.
He had his image of himself. McDonald was a con man. Always trying to shave the edge.
Oh! Go ahead, Nikki. Go ahead. Just do it.
Back. What are you doing? Come on, go home. Watch the television. Good guys win.
An incident like the Gulf of Tonkin or the Reichstag fire.
So this is just a great example of how the InfoWars universe is just expanding. More people are coming in. We're getting more people coming out and talking about the truth, talking about the issues. And while Christopher Walken didn't actually was prepared to answer any of the questions Alex was asking. He did talk a lot about the food, and it's sort of like a breaking the ice type thing. And I think we're going to have him on the show very soon, because if you look at the movies he's done and the types of lines he's read, which we just showed in some of those clips, he knows what's going on. He's no fool, definitely. And we're definitely going to have Richard Belzer back on, hopefully on this show in the next couple weeks, to talk about more about his book, because it's a very interesting book. Moving on to a toilet paper rag. Oh, there it is. Think Progress. Soros propaganda front slanders Rand Paul and Alex Jones. Once again, Think Progress is coming out against anybody who dares to question the establishment, because that's their job. George Soros attack dog Think Progress has exploited a supposed clerical error on an ammo purchase by the National Weather Service that was actually ordered by NOAA, Fisheries Office of Law Enforcement, as an excuse to attack Rand Paul, Alex Jones, and Infowars.com. Reporting the clerical error as a fact prior to the about-face by the government has provided the Soros-funded operation with an excuse to slam both Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who mentioned it before the clarification, and Alex Jones, who posted the story about the original bid offer from the FedBizOps website. And here's their quote, which I'm going to read in the simpering liberal voice, that a United States senator would even lend even a smidgen of credence to this conspiracy nonsense is disgraceful, Think Progress writes. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. InfoWars' biggest mainstream media booster is Matt Drudge, one of the most influential news sources on the American right. Naturally, InfoWars' story on the NWS ammunition order was Drudge's top link yesterday. Because they hate anybody reporting anything. Like, why are all these different agencies getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bullets? We're already over the $1.5 billion mark. Think Progress, which characterizes the story by Paul Joseph Watson as fictitious, went at a time when truthful reporting based on a posted government bid that was later characterized as a clerical error. So they're using any excuse they can to attack us, and their little Democratic operative minions are going to go, that's right, but that's until Romney gets into power. And then when we start bashing Romney and the things that he's doing, like the same things that Obama's doing, like more wars and more civil liberties being taken away, they'll finally come back and we'll be labeled as leftists, leftist commie pinkos, even though we're just for freedom and liberty. And we're going to get into some more investment news here. Report, Soros unloads all investments in major financial stocks investments and invests over $130 million in gold. And there you can see he's got some of the bling there. He's got his little Nazi, the Nazi logo on there, the swastika. And why do we show that? Well, because Soros was on 60 Minutes back in, 2003, 2004, talking about how he actually helped go around and take land from other Jews. And he was a young guy, and he felt it was his duty to stay alive so then he could rip more people off and create more problems later on in the future. So, in a harbinger of what may be coming our way in the fall of 2012, billionaire financier George Soros has sold all of his equity positions in major financial stocks, according to a 13-F report filed with the SEC for the quarter ending June 30, 2012. Soros, who manages funds through various accounts in the U.S. and Cayman Islands, has reportedly unloaded over 1 million shares of stock in financial companies and banks that include Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and total value sales amounting to nearly $50 million. And what is he doing? He's buying $130 million in gold because he knows what's happening. We had Max Kaiser on today's show basically saying the same thing. Get into gold and get into silver. And if you're looking for somebody, you can always check out Midas Resources, who helps put the Alex Jones Show on the air, is one of our main broadcaster, actually. And they have great deals on gold and silver, so you can check them out. Moving on to another clarification by the government. Social Security Administration explains plan to buy 174,000 hollow point bullets. And this is out of CNS News. And here's their quote. Our special agents need to be armed and trained appropriately. They released a blog basically stating this. They not only investigate allegations of Social Security fraud, but they also called to respond to threats against Social Security offices, employees, and customers. The blog links to another post about a fight that broke out near the SSA office in Massachusetts that required action by law enforcement officials. So if there's a fight outside near any government building, then we have to order over 150,000 rounds of ammunition for the different offices that it serves. Does that make sense? Well, they say it's for target practice and training as well, but I guess that's why you need hollow points, to be sure you blow a big hole in that target. And our final story today, U.S. troops to get new headgear for homeland security operations. Oh, Army to develop new helmets to protect against small arms ammunition. The U.S. Army is planning to develop new protective headgear for soldiers that will shield them from basic ballistic munitions, small arms ammunition, and blunt trauma as part of missions that will include, you ready for it, homeland security operations. That means the Army on your soil, and that means they're going to be coming to take your guns, just like what we've been telling you for a long time. Very scary. So let's hopefully this information will reach the troops. We can educate them that we're not the enemy. It's the people that have taken over the government. It's not even the government itself that is evil. It's the people inside it that have used those levers, those forms of basically bureaucracy to take over. And now that we've figured out what's going on, they know that the American people are waking up. So they're gearing up for that clash, and that means troops on the street. We showed you the picture before that was painted on a building in Detroit. Where's our 20,000 troops to protect us? People are already calling for it. So it's going to happen. It's already happened before, and it will happen again. All it takes is that one crisis that the Obama administration's called out for, that Oklahoma City-type event that will allow him to come and be part of the people. But as we say, here's the quote of the day, and this is from the immortal Patrick Henry. I don't even have to look at the paper. It's give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, and that's our quote of the day. We're going to be back after this with a marathon interview from Darren McBrain. He's going to interview Mike Adams via Skype. Alex was unable to do the show today. He had some other requirements, but he promised me that next week he will be doing the show at least three times. So, leads me to one thing. If you're not a member, join us on PrisonPlanet.tv. You can become a member. We got a 15-day free trial, and you can test out the site. You can watch Alex's movies for free. And one passcode gives you actually six, so you can share it with your friends and family. And, or, you know, maybe buy, if you have a membership, why don't you get one for someone else? Send them a card. We have that program available as well. So PrisonPlanet.tv, you get to watch the nightly news. We are now restreaming it all night once again. So you can catch it, even if you don't catch it at 7 o'clock, you can catch it later. That's our show for today. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic, On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure big brush finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King large version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Well, I'm sure most of you have heard by now about the man in Oregon who is currently serving 30 days in jail for collecting rainwater on his own property. His name is Gary Harrington, and the court found him guilty for what state water managers are describing as three illegal reservoirs on his property. God only knows why anyone would think collecting rainwater a criminal activity, but that's exactly what happened in the state of Oregon. And with us right now to help us break this all down is none other than the Health Ranger, Mike Adams. And Mike, if there was ever a perfect example of government insanity, I mean, this has got to be it. I mean, now it's illegal to collect rainwater. What's going on out there in Oregon?
Well, our country's being taken over by communists, basically, is what's going on. You wouldn't believe the reaction to this online. There are people defending the arrest and the jailing of this man, Gary Harrington, simply because he was practicing permaculture and collecting rainwater, which is a sustainable green practice. It's done throughout the country to help restore the life of an area, brings more animals in, it helps trees grow and everything. But in Oregon, you are a criminal if you dare collect the water that falls on your own property. That's what this is all about, Darren. It's total runaway government, total control over your life. Pretty soon, they'll probably tell you you can't have sunlight on your own land. You can't breathe air without paying a tax. I mean, it's already almost that way with the carbon taxes. It's total insanity, Darren, and it's getting worse.
Well, yeah, it's scary stuff indeed, and it did manage to get a little bit of mainstream media attention, not nearly as much as it deserves, but we have a clip set up right now, and this is Gary Harrington and his attorney last week on Fox and Friends. Let's check it out.
An Oregon man was sentenced to 30 days in jail for collecting rainwater on his personal property.
That's the government's water, and he broke the law. So, Gary, the state of Oregon says you are a water thief, right?
Isn't that terrible? Boy, we've had these ponds for 37 years.
So, Gary, are you going to report to jail?
If I have to, yes. And I'll pay the fine. But, boy, I am just going to fight like crazy to keep the water in the ponds.
And, of course, he is indeed spending 30 days in jail as we speak. And so let me get this straight. Rainwater fell on his land, on his property. But now the government's saying that it's the government's rainwater, and he's in jail for stealing from the government. I'm just trying to make sense of all this, Mike, but I guess it won't ever make sense, will it?
Well, the government uses a lot of word games like they always do, mind games. They say it's not the government's water, it's the people's water. Oh, yeah, right. But you have to...
Community property. Community yeah, property. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's communism, it's socialism, it's all runaway, bad ideas. But they also say, they use a lot of disinfo, and they say, oh, he's blocking stream water, trying to imply that somehow he's blocking a stream that enters his property and then leaves his property and that he's damming that up. That's not what's going on. He's damming up the water that runs off of his own property from rainfall that later enters a stream. And again, that practice, that is considered one of the fundamental tenets of permaculture. In fact, here in Texas, we get tax credits for building those dams and collecting and capturing rainwater. We get tax credits from various counties all across Texas for doing that. But in Oregon, you get thrown in jail for the same thing. Incredible.
Well, it sounds like a state-run shakedown, if you ask me. And what's next? When do they tell us that they own the sun? I mean, is it too far-fetched to say that it's going to be illegal to have solar panels?
Well, certainly. Already, they're trying to register gardens in Utah. It's not going to be long before they outlaw home gardens unless you have permission from the government. The solar systems that are out there right now, there's a huge story on that I don't think InfoWars has covered yet. You might want to look into it. Virtually all of these so-called grid tie systems, they will go down when the grid goes down. There is no solar independence. These people, they think they're going to operate off-grid, but they don't. There's a circuit built into the solar systems that shuts them off when the grid goes down. And it will surprise a lot of people who have invested a lot of money in solar and who think they're off-grid, but they're not.
Well, and that's what this is. These are tactics that they are using to keep us on the grid. I mean, they don't want us to be self-efficient. Isn't that what it's all about?
Well, self-sufficiency is the enemy of control, and they want that centralized control. They want to control your food, your gardens. They want to control your access to guns and ammo so you can't defend your own property and defend your life against looters or criminals. They want to control, well, they've already controlled your money, your income. They take the taxes right out of your income before you even see it, and if you're lucky, you might get a little bit back. You know, they want to control everything, fuel, intellectual property. I mean, the agricultural system, seeds, you name it, they want to control it. And in fact, really, at this point, Darren, we are tax slaves who live on tax farms. We're not free citizens in a free nation. We're just peons working for the state. That's how bad it has become, and it's going to get even worse.
Well, I think the establishment is fully aware that there's a growing movement right now. More and more people are practicing, you know, sustainability. More and more of us are growing our own gardens. We're saying no to GMO. We're saying no to fluoridated water, refusing to drink it, you know, and we're collecting our own water, our own sunlight. We're getting off the grid, and I think this has them scared a little bit, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. This is why the government's becoming so desperate and cracking down and arresting the raw milk, fresh milk sellers at gunpoint. And where does that come from? I mean, as we talk right now, there's an innocent man in jail in Ventura County, California, who's done nothing wrong, nothing whatsoever. He's being persecuted because he stood up for independence. He stood up for food freedom. That's James Stewart I'm talking about with Rawson Foods. He's still in jail. All across the country, they're clamping down on people who demand freedom and independence. Small businesses, you know, small businesses are under attack. Jobs are being shipped out of the country using taxpayer money sometimes. And then the government, Obama said recently he wants to have a, quote, bailout of every industry. That's not It's not a bailout. It's government taking over. It's a state-run, state-controlled economy. That is total runaway economic communism. That's what it is. He just uses different words to trick people, and too many people fall for it. It's really sad.
Well, there was a time when Americans were known for rugged individualism. I mean, that's what it used to mean to be an American, you know, to be self-efficient and not to be dependent on the government. But the establishment, they want you to think that it's the government that creates prosperity, not individuals, not entrepreneurs or hardworking people like you and me and the majority of our audience, you know. And I think, you know, what they're doing, they want to make this a nanny state, and we have got to fight this with everything that we've got.
And I agree with you. And the sad thing is that about half the population wants the nanny state. Look, they're so apathetic. I mean, runaway apathy. They don't have any courage anymore. They don't have a single independent thought in their brains. They're the Obama bots. They just go along with anything they're told to do. They love the state to be the nanny, to tell them what to eat, tell them what medicine to take, tell them how to vote, what to think. They watch mainstream news and they think that's factual. They don't recognize it's a fairy tale. So those people are frankly, to a great degree, hopeless. It's only those who watch InfoWars and, you know, who read my website, Natural News, and other independent alternative media who are informed and who really have a chance of surviving what's coming. Maybe we can get into some of that, too.
Yeah, sure. And in the meantime, I mean, you really have got to admire the courage of Gary Harrington, who's in jail right now, for standing up for his rights. And he's standing up for all of us, in my opinion. And before he went to jail, I'm just going to read a quote that he said. This is Gary Harrington. When something is wrong, as an American citizen, you have to put your foot down and say, this is wrong. You can't take away any more of my rights. And from here on, I am going to fight it. And well said, Gary Harrington. And Mike, I know that you're going to continue to follow this case as it develops. And who knows, maybe perhaps when he gets out of jail, one of us could interview him. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. And again, I just can't believe that the people of Oregon didn't rally to his defense and, you know, besiege the jail and make sure that an innocent man wasn't jailed for practicing permaculture. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I could tell you, I posted, and I do use Facebook. I hate to admit it, but I'm going to try to wean off of that. But I did post an image about what's going on with him, and I have to say it was the most shared image I've ever posted. I mean, people are really passionate about this. So hopefully we could create a firestorm, and people will, you know, get up and protest and do something about it.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. You know, I'm really wondering, what is that line in the sand for the American people? You know, what is the bridge too far, so to speak? At what point has the government crossed the line? Because so far, everything they've done, people just go along with it. Even TSA.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to allow them to grope your kids going through TSA, you know, I mean, I mean, that was their green light. I think once we allowed that to happen, they just said, we can do whatever we want.
Well, that's right. I mean, they're going to start coming to your house and having soldiers seize all of your food, you know, take your teenage daughter away and have their way with her, loot your jewelry, take your gold. And people are going to say, oh, no problem. We don't want to be labeled extremists. We're going to go along with that. I mean, that's what America has come to. Half the population are just pathetic slugs. They have no consciousness. They're zombies, man. They're gone.
No, I know. It's very scary. And, well, look, let's, switch gears a little bit. I mean, cause I want to get your take on the impending financial collapse. The Federal Reserve just issued a warning to all the big banks, telling them to, prepare for a worst case scenario. And this is their words, not mine. Prepare for the worst. Meanwhile, you've got the U.S. government stockpiling records amounts of food and ammunition. And at the same time, you've got the Obama administration signing all these crazy executive orders right now that would potentially be implemented in the event of a major meltdown of society. So a lot of crazy things going on right now, a lot of warning signals. What's your take on all this?
Well, 1.4 billion rounds of ammo, hollow point ammo, most of it in the hands of the DHS that doesn't even fight foreign wars. That tells you something. This is ammo to be used domestically against the American people.
And yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. When I see all these purchases, I'm thinking either they're either preparing for a Red Dawn type of scenario, which is, come on, you know, or they are, you know, if I wasn't mistaken, I mean, to me, it looks like they are preparing a war for the American people.
Well, clearly, I mean, that's the only reasonable explanation, unless maybe they're buying it to secretly ship it overseas and fund out, you know, give Al Qaeda more ammo. That's another possible scenario, but the most likely reasonable scenario is they're acquiring the ammo. And remember, most of it is anti-personnel ammo. All right. So it's jacketed hollow point ammo. This is not training ammo. Some of it is sniper ammo, a significant amount of it, actually. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of rounds, but it's like 308 sniper ammo. And then there's 5.56 with hollow point tips, ballistic tips, you know, things that penetrate armor. That's what the government is buying to use against the people. And at the same time, then, they're proposing to disarm the people. They're proposing, oh, don't let the people buy ammo. Don't let the people buy guns. So what you're seeing is a massive concentration of power into the hands of the government while the public is being disarmed. This is the recipe for genocide. This is the recipe for the Holocaust. You know, before Hitler herded all the Jews into the railroad cars and took them to the incinerators, he disarmed them first. So if you give up your guns, you are essentially committing suicide, allowing the government to genocide you and your family in whatever way they choose down the road.
Well, I tell you what, they're not the only ones stockpiling food and ammunition. The American people are stockpiling huge amounts of weapons and ammunition right now. And if we have to, we're prepared to dig in and fight. And well, I know one of the things that concerns me most, and I know this is a big concern for you as well, and that is the likelihood of another false flag terror attack. And you even wrote in an article recently on InfoWars where you said another false flag attack is imminent and that we should prepare ourselves and our families for the worst. And, you know, what makes you think that a staged event is right around the corner?
Because Obama's doing poorly in the polls. If you think about it, the better that Romney and Ryan do in their election, in the polls, the more the global controllers of Obama, who's obviously a puppet, they want to make him look like a hero so they can win the election for him and keep him in office where he can have, you know, unbridled power in the second term to use executive orders to call for all kinds of things, including total disarmament, total economic shutdown, total government takeover of all industry and all farms and so on. So they would want to stage an event that makes Obama look like a hero, just like Bush following 9/11.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not like this has ever happened before. I mean, this is the real history of the world. This is not the fairy tale that's being taught in government-run schools or revisionist history that, you know, that you'd see on television. The United States has a long history of false flag terror attacks. History repeats itself, so it's only logical that, you know, sooner or later we could expect to see another one. Hey, I want to play a clip real quick. This is a short clip that I put together a few months ago. It's about the history of false flag terrorism. Some of you may have seen it already, but it's worth a second look. Let's check it out.
In 1953, the CIA and British intelligence staged terror attacks to overthrow the democratically elected leader of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh had nationalized Iran's oil fields and denied British Petroleum a monopoly. U.S. and British intelligence operatives launched a successful coup d'etat and overthrew the Iranian government, replacing the regime with a ruthless dictatorship while seizing control of Iran's oil supply. 1964. U.S. warships were apparently attacked by North Vietnamese PT boats, an incident that kicked off the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. The attack was a staged event that never actually took place. What followed was an excuse by President Lyndon Johnson to dramatically expand the scale of the Vietnam War, ultimately at the cost of 3 or 4 million dead Vietnamese and 58,000 Americans. June 8, 1967. The USS Liberty, an American naval vessel sailing off the coast of Gaza, was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of Israel. The well-coordinated attack, which lasted for hours, resulted in the deaths of 34 crewmen, 170 injured, and catastrophic damage to the ship, one of the most highly decorated vessels in U.S. history. Egypt was to be blamed for the attack, to serve as a pretext to drag the U.S. and her allies into war in the Middle East. If not for the heroic efforts of the ship's captain and his brave crew, the Liberty would have faced almost certain destruction. The truth about Israel's attack and subsequent White House cover-up continues to be officially concealed from the American people to this day.
And, you know, those are just a few examples of false flag terror attacks. There are many, many, many more examples that we've could have shown you. But, you know, just recently, Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, there's 9/11 and the 7/7 bombings. And for those of you who don't want to believe any of this, those of you who are in denial, all I could suggest is that I don't know what to say. Go back to sleep. You know, change the channel, because if you want to live in the Matrix, so be it. Meanwhile, grown people are talking, and we're going to have a conversation about this, because, you know, this is information that needs to be talked about. It's about time, you know, that we faced reality. So, Mike, I wanted to ask you, what are, you know, some resources, books, DVDs, that sort of thing, where people could learn about false flag terrorism?
Well, first, before I get to that, I just want to remind your viewers that if you look at all the terrorist, so-called terrorist attacks in the last generation, everything in recent memory, almost all of it was done by a government. So, you know, where's the real terrorism? It virtually does not exist. It's the governments are the terrorists. Now, if you don't yet know that, then you just need to be educated. That's all. Most people operate on a very tiny sliver of information compared to the total truth of what's really true out there.
Yeah, and so, for those of people that are stuck in the Matrix, they want to be there, and they're going to stay there, you know. But there is a
place,
big,
you know,
thirst of knowledge. A lot of people want this information. And, in fact, I even brought some books and some DVDs. So grab a pen, folks. You might want to take note of these. Here's one. This is War is a Racket. This is by Smedley Butler, one of the highest decorated Marines in history. Well worth the read. There's I don't have it here, but there's a video called USS Liberty, Dead in the Water. It's a BBC documentary that's, well, you could buy it on Amazon or you can watch it on YouTube. Terror Storm, Prison Planet TV subscribers. Well, you guys can watch it right now, because it is in our archive, but it's also all over YouTube, so you can watch that at any time. Here is A Noble Lie. This exposes the true nature of terrorism. You'll have no doubt that the Oklahoma City bombings, you know, was a staged event. You can purchase this at InfoWarsShop.com. And here's a couple more books on Smedley Butler, one of my heroes. Here's a book. This one I'm reading right now. This is called Gladio. It's about Operation Gladio, and this is where the UN conducted a long list of terror attacks throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and this was in Europe. They were bombing banks, train stations, beer gardens. I mean, they even had snipers on the top of buildings, you know, shooting people, going shopping, you know. They called it the Slaughter of the Innocents, and it is a fact. This actually happened. And yes, the U.S. government was also involved. In fact, former Joint Chiefs of Staff General Lyman Limitzer, he was the head of many of these operations. And, you know, the main goal for Operation Gladio was to stop any European country from having, they didn't want anybody to have any kind of relationship with the Soviet Union. So if they felt a nation was at risk of, let's say, leaning towards communism, they would launch guerrilla warfare on the streets. And then the UN would step in as its savior. They would install a ruthless dictator to maintain order. And even modern day, we're seeing the same thing happen in like Syria and in Libya. So, and I was just talking about Lyman Limitzer. This is his biography. Of course, he doesn't mention in his biography any of his terror attacks. That's kind of strange, but he is also the author of perhaps the most infamous false flag terror attack in history that never happened, and that is Operation Northwoods. And this book right here, this is Body of Secrets. This is the guy who broke Operation Northwoods. His name is James Banford, and he obtained the documents through the Freedom of Information Act. And, I mean, it is a living, breathing document that exists in the National Archives. So spare me the conspiracy theorist comments. This thing is real. They wanted an excuse to invade Cuba and get rid of Fidel Castro during the 1960s. And this plan was brought to John F. Kennedy. They wanted to blow up national monuments in America. They wanted to shoot our own troops in Guantanamo Bay, sink a boatload of Cuban refugees. They wanted to, can you imagine just sinking a boatload of innocent people, you know, and then blaming it on Castro. And they even wanted to tell the American people that the Castro shot down an American passenger airliner, preferably full of college students and young people, because they knew that the American people would be outraged and demand retaliation. So they took this plan to John F. Kennedy. Kennedy not only said no, he fired Lyman Limitzer, and who was later hired to investigate John F. Kennedy's assassination, and then later go on to perform terror attacks all throughout Europe. So the information is out there, folks. You just got to look. And Mike, you were saying that the big ones ahead, you know, that you think that perhaps we're going to have a false flag attack on the scale or greater than 9/11. You know, what could we do? What measures could we take to protect ourselves and our families?
Well, I don't know about on the scale of 9/11. I do think something bigger than the shootings that we've seen, you know, in Colorado, for example, something perhaps on the scale of Oklahoma City, bombing of a government building, for example. That's the kind of scale that could happen. There's a slim chance of something really big, like a radiological attack, a dirty bomb, something like that. And the number one thing that you can do to protect yourself right now is get out of the city. Literally move out of the city. Get out into the country. The cities are going to be where the attacks happen, obviously, because that's where the casualties are the highest, and that's what they want in order to get the most outpouring of anger and other emotions that will then achieve their political purposes. So the possible target cities are, of course, Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago, Seattle, Los Angeles, Houston, Texas, even Denver, Colorado is, of course, another possible target. Basically, the big cities around the United States. So get out of the cities, and I mean for good. Don't live in the cities. It's going to get bad.
Well, Mike, that's certainly good advice. I want to encourage everybody to go to naturalnews.com. And for those of you who don't know, Mike Adams is also a regular fill-in for Alex Jones on the radio show and a frequent host of this show as well, the InfoWars Nightly News. So we certainly appreciate you coming out and spending time with us today and look forward to having you back and hanging out again in the near future.
Hey, thank you, Darren. I really appreciate you having me on. And just a program note, this Sunday I'm scheduled to host the Alex Jones Show. We're going to have John B. Wells on, and we're going to be talking preparedness for an hour and a half of that show.
Oh, fantastic. I was unaware of that, so I'll come in and say hi.
All right. See you then.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
You too.
All right, folks. Well, we got to face reality and know the evil that we're up against. Know your enemy. And it's time to dig in and prepare to protect yourself, your family, and, you know, in your country. And I tell you what the globalists fear the most. It's not the amount of weapons or arms that we have. It's not even the truth that we expose. And don't get me wrong, they hate when we expose the truth. But the thing that they fear above all else is love. Because when we love one another, we protect each other, and we defend each other to the very end. And that scares them indeed. I'm Darren McBreen. That's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Until then, have a blessed weekend. Fight the New World Order, and we'll see you back right here on Monday. Good night.